You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to the Wednesday event. This is it, man. We get three of us in the ring together. We call it the Grand Council. I bring in two of my brethren from talk radio around the state, and we ping each other with questions, see where we stand on the answers. Don't even know the questions in advance. Don't always agree, but we love each other when it's done. So let me just go ahead and call the roll for the Grand Council from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN up in Huntsville, also writes for Yellowhammer News. Dale Jackson, are you here? Stand at ease. All right. And then also from FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show and editor-in-chief for 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you with us?
I am present.
You are indeed, and we appreciate it. All right, I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, Butters.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da. Ta-da. All right, tell you what, Grand Council, we ping questions, so I'm going to go first. So a moment ago, we just had Congressman Barry Moore on the show talking about the ousting of Speaker McCarthy yesterday, first time in the history of the United States. And I asked him, so when are we going to see the vote? We got Scalise and Jordan both saying they're running. And he said, yeah, but, and then he went ahead and dropped the bomb that he and a number of other congressmen have already agreed that in the first round, they will be nominating and voting for Trump. Your immediate thoughts on that, Dale Jackson, Trump hater, go first.
Yeah, well, I mean, now I'm a Barry Moore hater. Can we just be serious, please? Can we just try to be somewhat serious? Can we go a day without people being able to go on the news and be like, look at these dumbasses, and have a point? I mean, they're going to do it anyway, but stop giving them a point. I mean, good Lord, Representative Moore, what are you doing? God, just stop.
So what you're saying is you don't want to see Speaker of the House Trump. Is that what you're saying to me?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. I figure he's got, you know, 91 criminal counts, some civil counts, and a presidential campaign to run. I know that the guy can do almost anything, but does he really need to be Speaker of the House, too?
I heard he makes a mean cup of coffee, too. Go ahead, Jeff. What are your thoughts on that?
I've made a cup of coffee in 70 years, if ever.
Jeff Poor, what are you thinking, man?
Who is asking for this? I mean, do people really think, hey, it'd be real exciting to have Trump as Speaker of the House? I mean, is that, like, on anybody's, like, bingo card?
You know what? I don't know. I think, you know,
I think it's a misread by Congressman Moore and some others. Like, no, I mean, I see what you're doing here, and I appreciate it, but don't.
So you don't want to see the State of the Union address and having Trump making faces and mid gestures right behind Biden while he presents his speech?
I mean, that'd be kind of fun, right? But
admit
no,
it.
I
you know what? I've come around. I've changed my mind. You guys have convinced me. If I'm a Democrat, I vote for him. Put him up there. Go ahead.
See,
go ahead. Make the Republicans deal with it and make Trump back down, because there's no way in hell he wants any part of this.
Well, see, that, if I'll be honest with you, that is on the one serious thing that came out of that. When I say one serious, a serious thing that came out of that conversation was he pointed out, he said, if the Democrats are going to be willing to unseat our Republican speaker and they hate Trump and believe he's the demise of the Republican Party, let's see if they'll put him in office and live with him for a while. And I thought, well, that's novel, I got mixed feelings on it. Do I think it'd be a hoot to watch? Yes. Do I think it's the right idea? Probably not. Anyway, we'll see where it goes. They say it'll be a round one vote. I'm pretty sure it's going to wind up being Jim Jordan. That's right now, I say he's the lead horse in that race. What are your quick thoughts on that?
I have no idea. Anyways, that sounds fine with me. I just don't know how they're gonna work after that. How does it work? There's three different coalitions: the moderates, the conservatives, and the liberal Republicans. Mo Brooks will tell you about that. How do they get anything done without making some deals? I just don't get it.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Let's say Dylan Mulvaney will be speaker before Joe Jordan, Senator. They're not going to make him. It's going to be some like name that it's not a household name, not ideological. It's just some guy that is a creature of the smoke-filled back roads, because that's what you need in these sort of circumstances.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all. I don't think there's going to be some nebbish with a bow tie that no one's ever heard of before.
It's not going to be. It's not going to be McHenry.
It's not
going to
be McHenry. He looks like Doogie Howser. It's going to be Emmer.
Emmer or Cole.
I mean,
like an old man.
He looks like. Never mind. The bottom line is, it's not going to be the guy that looks like a hobbit. No, it's not. But it's going to wind up being somebody who's going to have to be able to say he can corral and herd the cats. I mean, Jordan, by the way, has not only chaired a major committee, which is not just made up of his Freedom Caucus members, but he has also fought alongside the Freedom Caucus, and he's won the bona fides he needs with them. I do think that he winds up having the chutzpah to make it happen. I think he could.
Senator, for a lot of these guys, any association with the House Freedom Caucus is a deal breaker for them. Like, they will not have any association.
It wasn't the Freedom Caucus that unseated McCarthy, though. I mean, Nancy Mace is not even in the caucus, and she voted against him.
That's a different discussion. We're talking about Speaker, right? It has nothing to do. They will just not vote for a guy. There are enough people, and the margins are so tight. That's gonna be a deal breaker for a lot of people. The only reason that Joe Jordan was chairman of judiciary is because that's the kind of deal that McCarthy had to make to get those guys to vote for him for speaker the first go around.
We'll see. But you thought it was a guy from Minnesota yesterday, so I'm not sure if I'd buy.
I still think it's gonna be Tom Emmer from Minnesota or Tom Cole from Nebraska.
No.
You want to bet something on it? It will not be Jim Jordan.
Yeah.
There's going to be some maple bacon donuts on the table being bet right now. But if we're going to
– No, slap bet. Slap bet, guys. Whoever loses, the other guy gets to slap him right across the face.
Oh.
Shut up, Dale.
Dale, listen. All right. Well, tell you what. And on that, I'm going to go to Jeff Poor for the next question.
Well, that was going to be – my question was like, well, if not – like, do you have a guy that could be – speaker, and apparently it was going to be Jim Jordan for you, but
yeah, it is.
I just think that the nature of things right now, guys, is, I mean, this is the system at work. So I'll revise my question. Do you see this as a healthy thing or an unhealthy thing for not the Republican Party, but conservatism in general?
Do you think it's unhealthy that they unseated McCarthy or that
this turmoil, is it healthy or unhealthy?
Okay, so I got a mixed bag on that. I almost sound like a lawyer, don't I? But the reality is, I think it was probably really difficult timing, really bad timing. Do I think that they have to at some point make a stand against these continuing resolutions? Yes, I absolutely do. And I don't know when the right time would be for that. Maybe next year would have been better. Maybe it would have been worse because of the election cycle and the impeachment proceedings. But the reality is this. I think that the Freedom Caucus knows if they're going to get something done, now's the time, because the narrow majority gives them more clout than they've ever had. And that being said, the rest of the body recognizes they can't not deal with them. They didn't get Speaker McCarthy without the Freedom Caucus. So I do believe you're going to wind up seeing somebody more conservative who the body believes will work with them, but yet also keep the Freedom Caucus moving in a straight line. I think that's healthy in that sense. So, and I believe it's also democracy. We're watching democracy in action. Where else in the world are you able to see the orderly and formal transition of power because of discontent within the body? I think that's an important piece not to overlook. Dale, give us something.
Okay.
Slaps in the face.
Shut up, Senator. Apparently that's what we're supposed to say to each other now on this program. Look, I think it's bad. Timing, definitely, it's just awful timing because there was all this other stuff going on. I mean, look, say what you want about McCarthy. He had done what they had asked in a lot of ways. It wasn't 100%. But damn, I can't even have a conversation with my wife where I get 100% of things. That's just not how it's going
to
work.
You don't get 40% of things when you talk
to her. Well, right, but yeah. But she drives a harder bargain than them, I'm sure. But the reality is you got to be able to work with people, and this was just out of spite. I mean, that's all it was, and it's just – it doesn't make any sense. You had all these other things going on, which we've all talked about, the Bowman stuff, the impeachment inquiries, the border, the economy, Joe Biden's just general disposition. All those things are happening, and not a single one of them are going to get talked to until there's a new speaker. And I go back to my original comments. Now they can say, look at these dumbasses, and actually be right. For once, congratulations to the media. The thing they say actually has merit.
All right. The dour prediction. All right, tell you what. Dale, we got about 2 minutes. You got a question?
Yes.
What?
It's going to be quick. If Donald Trump was Speaker, what would be the first thing he did? Like, if he was elected Speaker, what would be the first thing
I think the first thing he would do would be to order that Nancy Pelosi's desk was moved to the farthest reaches of congressional office space anywhere. That's what I think would happen. Jeff?
Yeah, I think Schiff and Swalwell and a bunch of these other guys would probably move to the outhouse as well.
Can you imagine the pucker factor on those guys if they had to see the gavel? They would never see another bill with their name on it brought to the floor.
That's my answer, by the way. He would order a gigantic gold gavel, and it would be like a clown hammer, and that's what he would use. It would be gigantic, and it would be gold, and that's what he would do.
And on that note, we are going to a break. That was a fast round one. That was a good round one. All right, we're with the Grand Council. I got Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News. Dale Jackson from WVNF Yonder in Huntsville and writing for Yellowhammer News. And just little old me trying to herd the cats. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We're back with the Grand Council, Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson, and we're into round number two. I tell you what, I'm just going to join and jump in. So I'm going to state politics. Let's talk about things that are cooking here on the home front just for a second, fellas. So $270 million opioid settlement. Attorney General was one of many around the nation who forced the big pharma into an opioid settlement. Alabama's pro rata share of that, $270 million. And all of the state departments are lining up. Four major departments right now are lining up with their hands out saying, we want some of that. Are we going to see Governor Ivey take all of this money and fund government with it? Or is anything going to come back to the people? What is your prediction, please, Jeff Poor?
It'll go to corrections or something like that. It's not, you know, this governor shown time and time again, she's not going to give money back. And we saw this with the CARES Act, right?
Yep.
Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, Mississippi all did things with their tax code. Alabama didn't do anything. They said, we got to do it with prisons. And guess what? They sold us a bill of goods on the prisons just so they could do that.
Yep, absolutely. I would tend to agree with that. That ARPA and CARES Act both, we had hundreds of millions of dollars flood into the state. And rarely a dime of it went. And what, by the way, what did come to the people actually was a pick and choose by the government. Winners and losers. Who do we like to give a grant to? We'll decide we like you, but
yeah,
not you.
Yeah, they just built like fishing docks down here on the bay or whatever, things like that. I mean, that's not, you know, that's not something that's really tangibly going to benefit your quality of life. They have a different philosophy in the governor's mansion right now.
Let's see what Dale Jackson thinks. Oh, Dale, pray tell. Do you believe we're going to see anything come back to the people?
How much was it?
$270 million.
It's like a quarter of a prison. That's like 12 beds. I mean, let's go ahead. Let's build another prison. Okay, there we go. I think that's the answer. Legislators need a place to go after they leave. They can either do radio shows or go to jail.
Or they could just add the Ivy Wing onto the prisons. That would be great.
There we go.
I like it. All right, next question. I guess that's Jeff.
Hey, so John Wall was on my show yesterday. He says that libraries have a loophole when it comes to state subsidy laws and that they're exempt from some of them. He thinks it's the time for the legislature to repeal that loophole. I think this should have been done yesterday. What say you?
So there's a loophole in the law that allows them to put obscenities in children's sections? Is that what you're saying?
I didn't say that.
What it says is basically if you're a librarian and you hand a kid a Playboy and claim it's for educational purposes, they can't prosecute you. That's the gist of it.
Well, you get like substantive immunity like a police officer does or something? I mean, what?
Hey, man, you're the lawyer. You tell us. You just be a legislator too.
I have never. I look at this and think, you just handed me a novel case of first impression. I have never heard of a librarian being absolved by giving pornography to a kid. That is crazy.
Well, it's basically to protect all educators, librarians, and et cetera from being punished for discussing controversial subjects. But they've gone too far, and they've brought about the ire of the world, and now people are rolling back these things. And it is not too soon. I'll tell you that much right now. If I go outside of someone's house and say, "Hey, kid, come here. Don't you think it'd be fun to cut off your dong? Look at this book."
Well,
they would probably arrest me. But if a librarian does it, they're like, that's just, they're just helping these kids.
Well, out. I'll tell you what, if you come outside my house and do that, you might get shot. But there's that.
Well, Dale, whenever he has a lawmaker on, that's the first thing he asks him, "Hey, is it time for you guys to pass a law telling the librarians what they can and can't do?" And I'm like, that seems a little bit of an overreach. But I start asking around, and that seems to be a consensus that is what needs to be looked at here.
Well, so I'm going
to
tell you.
Welcome to the team, Jeff.
You just named a piece of the law that I would see wanting to modify. So, I mean, I've been a little reluctant to say it's always the legislature's job, because there were times when I know for a fact I saw things happen in Montgomery. You're like, this is not our job. But if there's a piece of, of the state code somewhere that provides an unnecessary protection for someone knowingly providing pornography to a kid, then I think that has to be addressed, absolutely. I got about 2 minutes. Last question. Dale, what is your question for us?
Texas has an official hashtag. It's really stupid. It's hashtag Texas. And their tourism hashtag is hashtag Texas to do, which is really, really stupid. If Alabama had an official hashtag, what would it be?
God almighty. This is your question?
You guys are covering all the serious stuff. I knew we could be a little soft here.
Yeah, right, Dale put a lot of thought into this segment, you could tell.
This was his throwaway question.
Yeah. Oh, my God, I think of something. Oh, no. Thank God I'm last.
Look at these guys kill time. Shut up, Jeff, and answer the question.
I'm going to go ahead and say.
No, you got a dumb question, okay? That's my answer.
Hashtag Alabama the Beautiful. Hashtag.
Roll Tide. Who
Heart
cares?
Of Dixie. Hashtag
Dallas stupid questions.
Hashtag Iron Bowl is not always for Alabama to win.
Guys, it's hashtag Sweet Home Alabama or hashtag Schoolhouse Door. Those are your two.
I'm going with Sweet Home Alabama. Thank you. That's I'll be honest with you. Let's stop for a second. That's a real one. Hashtag Sweet Home Alabama. That works. It's got a theme song
hashtag
and everything.
Hashtag Schoolhouse Door, though, Dale.
That's all we talk about. When people talk about the state, they reference it. Come on.
That doesn't mean you want to promote it. Okay, so I'm saying Dale Jackson will not get a job as tourism director for the state of Alabama.
I'm the one who said Sweet Home Alabama. That's a great one.
You're a monster. All right.
Hey guys, everyone note that these guys just got completely rattled by a very simple question. I just want to throw that out.
No,
there.
We didn't. We rattled. Got rattled by your stupidity.
Rattled. All right. I still point out the fact that you come in front of my door and talk about cutting a kid's genitals. We're going to wind up seeing some gunfire. All right. Listen. Wow. Thank you, Dale Jackson, for disrupting the flow. I appreciate both of you nonetheless. Have a great day, fellas. You guys have been listening to the Grand Council. Yep, there it is. That's Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5, down in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show, and also with 1819 News. And then Dale Jackson, WVNN, up yonder in Huntsville, host of his own show in the morning, and also writes for Yellowhammer News. And just little old me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.